We turn to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, and I shall read from verses 1 to 6. Ruth 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Amen. Now, St. Augustine, in the opening lines of his famous book, the Book of Confessions, he said, "O God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee." Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we see here that there is no rest apart from Jesus. And so we ask the question, who then are those that have rest? Well, those that have rest are those that have come to Jesus. But then this begs the question, are those who have come to Jesus at rest? For those of you who are believers in Christ and have heeded the command of Christ to come to him for that rest, do you have that rest? Are you at rest? Scripture speaks of peace. Scripture speaks of that unspeakable joy that we ought to have as believers. And the question is, do we have it? Dear brethren, we go to Christ for peace, but often we don't find it because we don't know how to go to him. We don't know how to accept that peace that he offers. But that peace which he offers can only be experienced when we go to him and trust in him completely. You see, there are many of us who go to him, but are unwilling to surrender ourselves to him. Now, there's a true story told of a man who observed this in a third world country. And he said that there was a driver of a bullock cart who was on his way to market when he overtook an old man carrying a heavy load. Taking compassion on him, the driver invited the old man to ride in the wagon. And gratefully, the old man accepted. But after a few minutes, the driver turned to see how the man was doing. And to his utter surprise, he found him still straining under the heavy weight, for he had not taken off the burden, even though he was on the cart. And how many of us are like that? We come to Christ for rest, but we don't surrender. And because we don't surrender all, which is admittedly a difficult task, we continue to be restless. And how destructive that can be. Warren Wiersbe makes this observation. I don't agree with everything he says, but on this point, he is true. He is right. He said, "The ability to calm your soul and wait before God is one of the most difficult things in the Christian life. Our old nature is restless, and the world around us is frantically in a hurry. But a restless heart usually leads to a reckless life." Now, in the passage this morning, we have instructions on how to find that rest. Now, there are 3 points in this message. Firstly, rest is a state of security where one is refreshed and allowed to recover. Rest is a state of security where one is refreshed and allowed to recover. Secondly, spiritual rest is found in Christ. Spiritual rest is found in Christ. And thirdly, rest is only obtained through surrender. Rest is only obtained through surrender. Now, in this passage, we see Naomi instructing Ruth to go and seek out Boaz. She says as her opening line, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Naomi here was most concerned with Ruth, that Ruth might find rest and security. And in so finding security for Ruth, no doubt Naomi herself would also experience that security. Now, you need to remember the state in which these women were. They were widows, and hence their situation was destitute. They had no rest. If you know the story of Ruth, they came out of Moab back into Bethlehem. They were widows. People saw the emaciated look of Naomi, and they said, "Could this be Naomi?" And Naomi was bitter. She said, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me." And the reason why she felt so bitter was her husband had died. Her 2 sons had died. And she was now back in Bethlehem with nothing. And so the greatest thing that would be on her mind at the moment was security, was rest. Now, what is significant about this word rest? Now, the word rest simply means a resting place. It's used to describe places where peace, quiet, trust, and tranquility are present. Now, we see this word in Psalm 23, verse 2. You know that famous psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." That's the word rest there. Lie down in green pastures. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." So this gives us the idea that rest is a refuge from fatigue. Isaiah 28, verse 12 tells us, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Rest is not only a place of refuge from fatigue, but it is also refreshing. Now, my wife and I experienced much rest in bath recently, or as they say in this country, bath, right? We walked around a lot sightseeing, and by the time it came to our last day there, we walked up to the crescent, and our feet were just really sore. And we sat on a bench beneath a willow tree. And we just didn't want to get up anymore. We were so well rested. It was so refreshing to have our feet up and not have to walk on them. It is that kind of feeling where you are completely fatigued, but you rest and a surge of relief comes over you. For example, what relief it would have been for Noah and his family when the ark finally rested upon the mountains of Ararat. But what despair for the dove that he sent out, which found no resting place for the sole of her foot. And so, being in the state that the dove was in, Naomi and Ruth would have found that kind of tranquility and security wanting. They would have yearned for it. And so from all of this, we see that rest is a state of security where one is refreshed and allowed to experience tranquility. That's the first point. Now, there are many who don't have that kind of rest or any kind of rest. Some don't experience a state of security. They may be fairly secure in all things worldly. They may be secure in finances, in relationships. But some who have this kind of security don't experience refreshment spiritually. They don't have the time. They're too busy investing in their security. They're frantically running around. There is no repose for them. Or rather, you could say that at times they refuse any repose. They're too busy in their security in worldly things to stop and to think about their spiritual harriedness. They are overcome by stressors and trials. Their minds are frenzied. Their nerves are frayed. Their hearts are simmering and even at times boiling. Their wills are stubborn. And how many of us feel that way as well, even though we've come to Christ? We encounter problems, but we dwell upon those problems and don't come to Christ correctly. And what ends up happening to us? We get stressed out. We simmer. We keep thinking about our problems and we miss out on that rest we can have in Christ. And oftentimes it's because we are stubborn. But this rest, this security, this refreshment, this tranquility, they are all available to anyone who seek it. You see, Naomi's word to Ruth was that she should seek the rest. You see, a lot of us desire rest, but we don't seek it. If desire was enough, all of us would be at rest, but desire is not enough. We need to seek that rest. And from this word seek, we see that effort is necessary. The word seek denotes the idea of an earnest seeking after something with the full intention that the object should be acquired. You could say, I desire good grades. Well, desire is not enough. If you're not going to work hard and do things properly, you're not going to get the grades that you want. That's a point to take in, future students. It's not enough to desire. You have to seek after. You may want to be more spiritual in your desire, more disciplined. All of us wish we were more disciplined, but if we don't seek after and put things in place, we can desire all we want, but have nothing. So in this context, Naomi would do all she could to find tranquility and security for the both of them. She knew that this rest was found in a relative who had the obligation to take them in and to care for them in their state of tiredness and weariness. And so she gave instructions. Spiritually, we all need that rest, for we are weighed down and troubled by sin. We know that unless we come to Jesus, we will never find that rest. Matthew 11:28-29, that famous verse says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." It's not enough that we desire, but Jesus says, come. If we don't come, we don't have. If we don't take his yoke upon us, we won't have that rest. Now, rest is something that many of us, including us Christians, we don't know how to obtain it. And that's because we don't come to Christ in the right manner. For it is only in Christ that true rest is found. And that's the second point. Now, when Naomi wanted to find rest for Ruth, she instructed Ruth to go into the fields to the threshing floor of Boaz in order to find him. Now, you might be wondering, of all people, why Boaz? Well, we read in chapter 2 that he was a close relative. And, of course, relatives were obligated by Mosaic law to take in their less fortunate relatives and to take them under their wing and feed them and so forth. And we also know that Boaz had already shown his generosity to Ruth. He said, "Who are you?" Right? And of course, his men explained to him that she was the Moabitess who followed Naomi out of Moab. And he said, "Tarry here and glean from my threshing floor and obtain all the grain that you need." And he even told his workers, "On purpose, leave some grain for her that she might glean it. And if she needed a drink, she should go to the vessels and get some water. If she was hungry, she should dip some bread into vinegar and eat it." He had already been kind and generous to her. And so Naomi had already experienced contentment, satisfaction by his hand. They had already experienced his goodness. But ultimately, of course, Naomi realized where this rest came from and where this goodness came from. She knew that it firstly came from Boaz, but it wasn't only in Boaz alone. It was through God. That's why she said in Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, which we read, "Blessed be he of the Lord." She recognized where this goodness came from, that it came from God himself, who had not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Now, the word kindness here is translated in so many different ways: mercy, grace, goodness, loving kindness. So we know that it is from God that we receive this loving kindness and this goodness. We need to realize ultimately that all rest, not just spiritual rest, but all rest comes from God. You may have come to God for spiritual rest. You may be saved from your sins. But if you're anything like me, we worry, don't we? And we struggle with anxiety at times. We become dissatisfied. We get into relationship problems and we feel so much at unrest. And you may have a deadline to meet and you may feel that you can't meet it. Anxiety comes to us, but it is still in God that we experience all manner of rest. Psalm 116, verse 7 says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." And that's something that we need to realize. Rest comes from God. Now, why is it then that so many of us, even though we are believers in Christ, and we know that we need to go to Christ for additional rest, why is it then that we are not at rest? And the answer, I believe, is simple. Our wills are stubborn. We are like that man, even climbing upon the cart, yet he would not remove his load. We are struggling. We are anxious. But sometimes it's a lot easier to dwell upon our anxiety and dwell upon our sinful thoughts than surrendering it to Christ. Christ says, "Give it to me." And we say, "But I would rather be in control and think about these things." That's why we never find that rest, because our wills are stubborn. It may seem right to us, but the end is destruction, as Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Others are not at rest because perhaps they rely on men and get disappointed when men don't meet their expectations. Psalm 146 verse 3 says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." Of course, when we expect things from men, and perhaps even from ourselves, we will definitely get disappointed. Many aren't at rest also because of sin. We don't want to give up our sin. If, for example, You are not at rest because you are continually angry at a person and you don't forgive. You're not at rest. You're anxious. You're bitter. Sin will eat you up. And that's because sin is a terrible master. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, "Some masters have pity on their slaves, though they make them work in the galleys, yet they give them food and let them have their hours of rest. But Satan is a merciless tyrant who gives his slaves poison instead of food and hurtful lusts to feed on. Nor will he let his slaves have any rest. He wearies them out to do his drudgery. As Jeremiah 9:5 says, they weary themselves to commit iniquity." Sin is a wearisome thing. When men have served him to their utmost strength, he welcomes them to hell with fire and brimstone. But Christ is different. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So in this passage, we have a beautiful and instructive picture of the way sinners come to Christ to obtain mercy and grace. So the question now is, how do we obtain that rest? How do we obtain this security, this tranquility, this recovery? Well, if Christ is the only source of rest, well, then we have to go to Christ. Now, we may think that this is a message for those who have not come to Christ, but it is a message for all who have come to Christ and experienced no rest. There is instruction for us on how to find rest. And in short, rest is obtained through surrender. And that's the third point, surrender. And here we see Naomi's wise counsel. Naomi knew who Boaz was. She knew exactly what he would do. We know who Christ is. We know how to find him. And we know what he will do. We know that if we would surrender to him, he would grant us rest. So what were these instructions? We see in this passage that Naomi told Ruth to firstly wash herself to make herself presentable. She was to bathe her entire body. That's the meaning here. Secondly, she was to anoint herself. Now, the process of anointing the body was usually done with olive oil, particularly after bathing, and it was done in order to give the body a fragrance. Now, there were no supermarkets selling deodorants at that time, so olive oil, which was produced in abundance, was used. The Jews used to anoint themselves after bathing in order to give the skin a smooth and comely and fragrant appearance. Now, it's interesting that the Jews had the custom of rubbing the head with oil or ointment at feasts as a symbol of joy. Thus, the act of anointing was a symbol of gladness. Now, there are spiritual significances here. We learn that there must be washing. If anyone washes himself, it presupposes that he knows he is dirty. And anyone who anoints himself with perfumed oil presupposes that he is of great unpleasant odor. She was also to clothe herself with her best clothes. Now, the translation, our grand old translation, doesn't really do justice to this, to the original. It means that Ruth was to clothe herself in order to be presentable. And she was to go down to the threshing floor. There she would mark the place where he would lie, and she should lie down at his feet. And so we learn that there ought to be great care. Anyone who clothes themselves in such manner in which Ruth was told to understands the gravity of the situation, meaning that it was a significant and important meeting. And we learn here also from her posture, she was not to stand boldly and proudly in front of Boaz, commanding him to give her that rest and security, but she was to lie at his feet, not demanding, but submissive and needy. And this showed an attitude of surrender in all things. The preparation indicated humility. It showed that there was a knowledge of sin, that she was dirty. It showed a knowledge that she was offensive to God, which is why she had to anoint herself. And for us who are to go to God to receive this rest, we are to surrender, knowing that there is no good in us, that we have sinned against the Lord, that only in Him is this rest and graciousness, and to do so with seriousness. I know a lot of us, we go before the Lord and just ask the Lord, Lord, you know my need. Give me that rest. But no repentance, no sorrowing, no neediness is accompanied with it. You know, when Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit, He was right. But what follows after? Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. There has to be that spirit of need. Brethren, when we know we need rest, we better prepare ourselves to come to Christ to receive it. And the place to go is prayer. And the necessary posture is humility, to lie at the feet of Christ, as Ruth laid at the feet of Boaz. Now this was the posture of two other women. We see this in Mary of Bethany in Luke 10. And we saw in Luke 7, the woman who came to Jesus to wash His feet with her tears and hair. So how do we find this rest? In very much the same way as these women did, who understood their dirtiness, sinfulness, who understood their righteousnesses were as filthy rags, that they are tired, that they are so tired of straying and so tired of resisting the Lord. There's a story that Andrew Bonner told. Andrew Bonner was a Free Church of Scotland minister. And he recounted a story of how high in the mountains of Scotland, in the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would wander far off into the rocks and get into places that they couldn't get out of. The grass on these mountains was usually very sweet, and the sheep liked them. And they would jump down about 10 or 12 feet onto these dangerous places just to eat the grass, but after that they couldn't climb back up. And the shepherd would hear them bleeding from a distance. They would be there for days, perhaps until they've eaten all the grass, but the shepherd still would wait. They would wait until the sheep were so faint until they couldn't stand. And then they would use a rope and pull them up. The shepherd himself would climb down, tie the sheep, and haul the sheep up. And when Andrew Bonner was asked, why didn't you do it early on when you first discovered the sheep, when the sheep first got there? Then Andrew Bonner said, well, sheep, they are so very foolish, and they would dash right over the precipice and be killed if I were to climb over immediately. And oftentimes that is the way with men. We won't go back to God until we have no friends, until we have lost everything. Andrew Bonner gives this advice. If you are a wanderer, I tell you that the Good Shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let Him save you His own way. And that is by surrender. I'm not sure what sins are bothering you this morning, what trials you're going through, what things you're trying to protect. If we're going about things our own way, you can be sure that we will find no rest. But if we go back to God and surrender, there will always be rest. Amen.